This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Friday, August 21st, 2020. Today you will hear about Steve Bannon's arrest off the coast of Connecticut, Obama taking his presidential gloves off, stock markets feeling bullish, LA court sides with MacArthur again, Trump stumps in Pennsylvania, and South Australia says it can take your kids. Trump's former chief strategist Steve Bannon was arrested Thursday on a boat off the coast of Connecticut with three other men, Brian Colfage, Andrew Baldato, and Timothy Shea. All four men were charged with conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering through a campaign called We Build the Wall, which had raised over $25 million to help construct the wall along the Mexican border. Prosecutors allege that Bannon and the other men were siphoning off payments to themselves with fake invoices. Bannon appeared in court later on Thursday, pleading not guilty to the charges and was expected to be free on bail shortly. Trump said he felt very badly for Bannon, but added, "I haven't been dealing with him for a very long period of time." The president also added that he thought the fundraising effort was not something he had ever approved of. "I thought it was being done for showboating reasons," the president said. However, Donald Jr. was a guest at a symposium hosted by the group in New Mexico in 2019, where he praised the organization as private enterprise at its finest, doing it better, faster, cheaper than anything else, he added. And one of the group's advisors, Chris Kobach, former Kansas Secretary of State, told the New York Times that he had talked with the president at one point about the We Build the Wall effort, and the president had told him that the project had his blessing, and he's welcome to tell the media that. I guess that's what he's doing now. You got to wonder what's going on with this. I mean, I suppose this could be a massively bungled theft and fraud attempt. But you also got to wonder, you know, who's trying to get the president this time? What are they trying to get to stick to him this time? What's the hook? Obama, though, he took the gloves off. Former President Barack Obama spoke at the Democratic National Convention Wednesday night and broke with traditional American post-presidential protocol by attacking President Trump's presidency with far more vehemence than some believe has ever happened before. Michael Beschloss, a contributor for NBC and PBS, a historian of past American presidents, tweeted out, "No former president has ever attacked his incumbent successor at a convention like Barack Obama tonight, or even come close." This came as a pretty stark contrast to Obama's initial reports after Trump was initially elected, describing their post-election conversation as excellent and something that encouraged him. At Wednesday's convention speech, Obama called Trump's presidency a reality show. Well, there's some truth to that, and warned America that in this coming election, democracy was at stake. I don't know. I'm sort of confused. Is he talking about the rioters that were burning down and looting Target? Was he talking about, you know, the people in Seattle and Portland trying to burn down federal buildings? I mean, I don't know. Anyways, I just need to invite you guys to our conference. That's what it says next here. I'm supposed to invite you. The first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference. Weapons for this war, Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st to the 3rd. Democracy is at stake. Okay, no, it's not really. But we put together a package that is full of feasting and psalm singing, hearty fellowship, a lineup of speakers committed to showing you how God's word applies to everything. Politics, economics, business, education, creativity, marriage and family, much more. So please join us. Hundreds of you already have. I'm very excited to meet you. So go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. The stock market roars back to life. The S&P 500 closed at a new record high on Tuesday, rebounding from its massive plunge in February and March, regaining and eclipsing its previous record set on February 19th. That's crazy. Taking just the S&P 500, this would be the third fastest recovery at just 102 days for the S&P 500, but measuring the whole market together, some economists are saying that the whole bear market only lasted 126 days, making it the fastest rebound in U.S. history, just ahead of most Hollywood actresses. Is that a cheap shot? I don't know. Remember, economists typically look at the NASDAQ index, the Dow Jones Industrial Averages, and the S&P 500. They sort of triangulate those three different, whatever you call them, indexes to gauge the strength of the overall economy, sort of triangulate them. And then they say, you know, ta-da, we have a strong economy, or, you know, it's trending down or up or whatever. As it stands, the Dow Jones Industrial Averages are still trailing in full recovery, but they're saying, hey, we've pulled out of the bear market. Vice President Mike Pence tweeted out Tuesday, S&P 500 closed at a record high today, fully wiping out its losses from the coronavirus, exclamation point. This is the great American comeback, exclamation point. While everyone seems elated, many investors are still somewhat wary or cautious. Stephen Wagner of Omnia Family Wealth said, many investors are still bewildered by the apparent disconnect between what people are still seeing on the ground, all the tyranny, I guess, is what he's talking about, you know, being led around with dress code police officers everywhere, checking to make sure you're dressed like a thug, and what appears to be happening with the markets. Most people think this signals significant optimism about the next year. Meanwhile, John MacArthur's special counsel at the Thomas More Society, Jenna Ellis, reported Thursday that Judge Mitchell Beckloff correctly found that there is no court order prohibiting Grace Community Church from holding indoor services. Remember, LA County was trying to get them found in contempt of court, but in order to be in contempt of court, you have to be defying an order of a court. Anyways, Jenna Ellis continues, LA County continues to harass and target Pastor MacArthur. Having failed to get a court order to shut down the church, they have sought three times. They're going to try again by hauling us back into court. Ironically, LA County said in its application for contempt that, quote, Grace Church cannot thumb its nose at the court when decisions don't go its way, unquote. Yet that's precisely what LA County is now doing themselves. We will simply continue to defend our clients' constitutionally protected rights because church is essential. MacArthur and Grace Community Church are suing LA County for attempting to shut down worship under COVID emergency orders. Of course, that's in violation of the state and national constitutions. The lawsuit was filed after the church received a cease and desist order from the state or from the county ordering prohibiting indoor worship and threatening fines and imprisonment. That lawsuit is currently pending. Meanwhile, Trump spoke in Pennsylvania Thursday. He said this, liberal hypocrites want to open our borders and let violent mobs rule the streets while they live in walled off compounds and communities. They want to defund police while hiring private security. They want to let rioters burn churches while jailing you for praying in your church. They want to abolish school choice while sending their children to the best private schools in the land. They want to cancel you, take your jobs, turn your family against you for speaking your mind while they indoctrinate your children with twisted worldviews. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a very stark and helpful summary. Liberal hypocrites want to open our borders, let violent mobs rule the streets and loot Target and burn down police stations in Seattle while they live in walled off compounds and communities. They want to defund the police while hiring private security. They want to let rioters burn churches while jailing you for praying in your church, like MacArthur. They want to abolish school choice while sending their children to the best private schools, like the Obamas. They want to cancel you, take your jobs. Yeah, they did that. Turn your family against you for speaking your mind while they indoctrinate your children with twisted worldviews. He meant to add, in government schools. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. South Australia, though, speaking of indoctrinating children with twisted worldviews, you know, maybe they'll just come get your children. In South Australia, the most recent COVID-19 Emergency Response Act claims authority to remove children from the custody of their parents. Section 25A asserts that in times of emergency, the government has the authority to remove, quote, a child from any premises, place, vehicle, or vessel to a place of residence of the child or to a hospital or quarantine facility as the authorized officer thinks fit and may in doing so use such force as is reasonably necessary, unquote. Now, one would assume that this was originally written assuming actual dire circumstances, actual full-throated, you're about to die emergencies, like active shooters in the home, actual, you know, riot, mob, violence, school fire, right? At that point, you know, an authorized officer could grab a child out of harm's way and rush them to some place of safety. I'm assuming that's what those words were originally written to address, that you don't have to, when you see a child in harm's way, actual harm's way, you don't have to say, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, help them because I might get in trouble for trying to help them. No, that law was written to protect someone reaching out and saying, no, I'll help you, and saving a child who's actually, you know, about to be hit by a train. That sort of emergency power is completely understandable. But what has happened in recent years is the complete reinvention of the definition of emergency, especially what constitutes a health emergency. This is as good a time as any to remind you that there's nothing that is neutral. Nothing in this world is religiously neutral. That's why the definition of emergency is getting messed with. Everything is either ultimately serving Christ or it is at war with Christ. Everything. Mathematics, science, medicine, history, everything is either serving Christ or it is at war with Christ. This is why public government schools have been such a cancer to our culture. It's not that they're openly attacking Christianity. They do that sometimes, but they're not openly attacking Christianity all the time. And that's not the most insidious part of them. Rather, they require teachers to treat Jesus Christ as optional. That's the poison. That's the cancer. They are required. Teachers in public schools are required to teach Jesus Christ as optional all day long. But to treat Jesus Christ as optional is to be at war with Jesus Christ. He is Lord, and there is no such thing as an optional Lord. To teach Jesus as optional Lord is to say he is no Lord. You need not submit to him. You can submit to him if you want to. That's not a Lord, right? That means you're at war with his lordship. And far too many Christians have joined that war against Jesus Christ. So then, what constitutes good health? What is good for people? What is good for children? By what standard? If you will not have the Lord Jesus, if you will not have his word, the word of God, the Bible, as your standard, then you will have another standard foisted upon you. And at some point, the authorized officer may use such force as is reasonably necessary. Is telling a little boy that he cannot wear a dress harmful? Is it harmful to his health? Is spanking, the loving, gracious administration of corporal punishment, is it child abuse? Is counseling a homosexual to repent of his sin and walk in the light, is that a hate crime? Well, if it hurts their feelings, is it a health crime now as well? And if governments can take your children for a virus that 99.9% of people will recover from, then anything that has a 0.1% chance of resulting in death may be twisted into a health emergency. The only cure for this kind of insanity is the gospel. People do not come back from this by reasoning with them. Jesus was crucified for sinners. He was crucified for this kind of sinful insanity, and he was raised from the dead to make all things new. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey. Support Rowdy Christian Media. That's what we call this. We call it Rowdy Christian Media. And become a Fight Laugh Feast club member today. If you've not, just do it. It's the way to support us. It's the best way to support what we're trying to do with Cross Politic and all the shows on the network. And for a limited time, you can get a Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt and access to tons of extended discussions with George Grant, Sho Baraka, David French, C.R. Wiley, Eric Erickson, Maj Touré, Doug and Nancy Wilson, Walter Williams, Gary DeMar, and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. You also get $100 off your registration for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference, where we hope to meet many of you in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register now. Have a great day and a great weekend.